Okay, I'm back. It's a bit like the bus syndrome. I haven't done a boo for a few days, not since the weekend. Saturday, I think. Now I've done three in a row. And if anyone doesn't know what I'm talking about, maybe it's a UK thing. We always joke that the buses are... You wait an hour for a bus and then a load come along in a line. And that does happen sometimes. It's almost like they're scared to turn up on their own because there might be too many people to get on the first one, and then the driver's going to get a load of abuse. Sometimes they don't even stop. Good job I did come in earlier, because no sooner did I get in than they didn't even ring the doorbell. They knocked at the door, and we haven't got a proper knocker. So there's no way I would have heard out here, even had I had the back door open, which I hadn't. Right, I'm going to come back out now because it's quite humid indoors. I want to talk about a topic that I've seen by someone I follow, Mike Fair, about whether we're controlled by our parents, even though we've left home. And he was inspired to talk about this after listening to a post by Sibby Mead, who I don't follow, but I did look her up, and I listened to her post as well. She talked about having a friend who is 46. I presume she's visually impaired, I'm not sure. She didn't actually say so. And she has lived in her own place or away from her parents for 25 years, and yet her mum is still managing to make her do things, quotes, make her do things, like put a mirror in a certain place because it makes a room look bigger, keep her walls painted white, have a brick wall area knocked down in her garden because it doesn't look nice. Even though she may not want these things done, she does them because my mum said so. I just want to talk about a little bit about this because it actually comes on the back of a dream I had last night, which is rather strange. I think, well, let me first of all say, I've lived on my own. I left home, well, I went to university. I was quite young when I went to university. I was like a year younger than all my fellow students. Most of them were like coming up for, like, would soon be 19, and I wasn't 18 yet. So that's when I went to boarding school, so I was pretty independent. And I did come back home for a couple of years when I've graduated. And then I left home again to go to college again. And then I went straight into work and renting somewhere. And then I got with a partner who I wanted to be with, and we bought a house, and we eventually got married and had two kids. Then we got divorced, sold the house. I'm now in a social housing house, and I've got another husband. And anyway, what I want to say before I go any further is I am not controllable by anybody, by husbands. No one controls me. That doesn't mean to say I don't listen to what they have to say. For instance, my mum, knowing I can't see, I do value her advice on what things look like. I don't always take it as gospel, but I wouldn't say exactly defer to what she says, but I will listen. Not just to her, but to my sister, to my husband. I will listen to what they say. Doesn't mean to say I'm going to act on it. And of course, if it's something to do with the home, it's not just down to me, because I'm not the only person that lives here. I live with my husband. That's my second husband, and my two children. Well, yeah, my two sons. They're not children anymore. And they'll always be my children, but they aren't actually children. The older one is 22 and three quarters. And the other one, it will be 18 in... What's the date today? Oh, I think it's a month today. Yeah. Well, it's 4 weeks today, 11th of August. So, they're not children, but they do live here and they do have some say in what goes on, of course. So, I think it's very easy for us to think that when we can't see, that people who can see know better about what things look like than we do. If we have no concept of colour, I do, but I can't see colours anymore, but I do remember what they look like. I can remember different shades of colours. Whether I remember them correctly, I don't know. That's, of course, a whole different topic. Um, I actually usually ask for someone's advice about things. Do you think I should do this and what do you think about that? I've pretty much got my own ideas, but I don't think that's the same thing as being controlled by your parents. I don't control my children at all. My son, who's 22, see, I can see both sides of it. They're both sighted, my children, and I think that does have a difference. I think parents are less likely to try and control you if you can see. For instance, you know, if my son wanted to decorate his bedroom, he wouldn't obviously ask my advice. But if I wanted to decorate mine, I might ask his. Well, I probably wouldn't, but because he's probably got different ideas to me. But that's how it could go, because I can't see and he can. But I would let him do his bedroom within reason, as long as he's not going to do any damage in there, as long as it's just painting or doing wallpaper and having it done properly, because obviously it's not my own place and I have to be careful about what we do here. And I have to stick to... Well, they're pretty lenient, but, you know, I would let him go ahead and do it. He has his girlfriend to stay. I have no objection to them sleeping together, because I think, I know some parents wouldn't like that, but I don't mind. I'd rather they be doing it here than up a back alley somewhere. They're in a safe environment. They're adults. At 22, I was in a relationship with their dad and living in a flat with him. So, you know, but when we went to his mum's house, of course, we had to sleep in separate rooms until we were married. But I'm not like that. I like to think I'm a bit more liberal and I don't try and control them. I like to know what they're doing, whether they're going to be in for dinner. He isn't always very good at telling me. He might go off to his girlfriend's from work and stay the night and go straight to work the next day. And he might not think to tell me till, like, he's left and he's halfway there. So usually in the day I'll text him if I don't know if he's coming home and say, are you coming home today or what? And he'll let me know so that I don't go and do too much cooking. But that's not the same as controlling them. They've all got their own key. They can come and go as they please, within reason. I don't want them coming home, slamming home drunk at 4 o'clock in the morning every night and disturbing the peace. But they don't do that. They don't really drink anyway. So that's not a problem I have. So I don't control them. Now, my dad was quite controlling when we lived at home still. And as someone said, when you live under their roof, you have to live by their rules. And, okay, my kids, you know, I would have some certain rules, like I wouldn't allow smoking in the house. If they want to smoke, they have to go outside. They don't smoke anyway, thankfully, but I wouldn't want them drinking excessively, but they don't do that either. I wouldn't really want them bringing loads of male friends home, like gangs of them, which is what my sister's children do. And they kind of take over her downstairs and she's like forced to go upstairs in her bedroom and watch TV up there because they're all downstairs playing loud music. I wouldn't allow that. You know, if they want to do something like that, let them go to a club or something. They're not doing it in my house. You know, but I'm pretty lenient, I think. You know, they don't have to, you know, they can go and help themselves to the food. They can do what they like. They can cook things. They can do their own washing. You know, I let them do what they want, basically. They don't run amok. They just respect that, you know, we've all got to live here together. And that's the way it is. And when I lived at my parents', my dad was very controlling. He would make us turn our light off at certain times. Say, he'd knock on. We had a little window that was put in the side of the bedroom. I don't know why it went into the passage outside, and he'd like knock on. You couldn't see through it. It was like it was just like a decoration, really. And we used to put our little ornaments on it, and it was like quite thick glass with round circles. I think what happened was he used the glass for something else, and he had some left over, and it was quite pretty. So he made this little window just as a decoration. But you can see if the light's on through it. You couldn't see in there. And so he'd knock on the window and he'd say, come on, turn the light off. And we'd say, all right, meaning all right, we're going to. And he'd say, oh, it really used to irritate us. It's not all right. And we were like 18 and 20 then, or 19 and 21. We shared a bedroom. And you know, we never brought blokes home or anything like that. Not when they were at home. One day they, once they went on holiday, and my sister had a couple of blokes round. Nothing went on. It was just pretty innocent. But they stayed the night. They slept on the living room floor, in on like a lilo things. But you know, we would never do that when they were here. When they were there, they wouldn't have. My dad. He wouldn't have allowed it. And my sister, like when she was 17, she had this boyfriend who was quite a bit older. He was like in his 20s, and nothing ever happened between them. They never got to that stage. Not that you need to know that, but I'm just saying, because she was quite innocent, really. And you know, if she came home, she had to be in by 11 o'clock. And if she was like a minute late, me and my mum used to be so anxious, because we were like, oh my God, because he used to get a bee in his bonnet about it. Where is she? And like, she came in the door and he got her in the hall and said, where have you been? Up a country lane. I mean, he was really just awful to say that. She hadn't done anything like that. So we thought, well, we wonder what he got up to in his youth, you know what I mean? But so he was quite strict, and he wasn't very understanding at all about us going out. One day she and I went up to get Chinese, actually. It was a Sunday evening, and we met some of her friends up there, and we went in this Turkish restaurant, and we had a good time, you know, and just flirted with blokes and stuff like you do at that age. And then we just walked home, and it was midnight when we got home. And I suppose we were supposed to be in by... I don't know if we were supposed to be 11 o'clock, in by 11 o'clock, because I was definitely over 18. I think I was 19 or 20. And she's 2 years younger than me, so... Anyway, she was with me, and so we get home, and we put our key in the door, and, like, it won't turn. He'd locked us out. He did it purposely, so that when we turned up, he's got to answer the door and give us the third degree. Where have we been? What have we been doing? And so I never wanted to be like that with my kids. And I suppose it's a bit more difficult if your children are girls, because it is a more of a worry. But you know, girls are pretty clued up now. You know, they're not innocent. We were clued up as well, but I mean, girls today are very clued up about everything. And there's so much media stuff about, you know, don't go out on your own, make sure someone knows where you are and all that. We weren't on our own, and we were fine. But he was very regimental. He was pretty Victorian. So a couple of years ago, I had the misfortune to have to go and live back with my parents for 4 months, and I did not find it easy. Of course, their rules are their rules, and I felt like I couldn't come and go as I didn't really want to go anywhere, really, but I felt like I couldn't have come and gone as I pleased. I did have a key. And, you know, I just felt like my parents, my mum and my dad, wanted to know everything I was doing all the time. Like, I had the bedroom that my sister and I used to share, but they live in a one-floor apartment, and it's only got two bedrooms. So that room now is turned into what my mum calls her parlour, where she's got her computer, and she's got it like a sitting room. So there wasn't a bed in there. I slept on a couch. And I'd spend a lot of my time in there, because I think I was probably a bit depressed after the fire and losing everything, and I felt like a refugee. I had nothing left, and it was awful. And the kids were staying with their dad, and Obi wasn't in the UK yet. So I used to spend a lot of time in there because I wanted to be private. I had nowhere to call my own. And my mum would often come in there when I wanted to go to sleep at night, but I couldn't really say anything because it's her house, you know. And she'd be on her computer till really late, and my dad goes out drinking sometimes with his friend, and he comes home like 1 o'clock in the morning. You can't relax there. You couldn't sort of go to sleep until all that's been sorted out, all that's done and dusted, type kind of thing. But not only that, he'd like bring me in a cup of coffee sometimes in the morning, not first thing in the morning, because I was always up before them to feed my dogs and take them out, and they were still in bed. They didn't get up till about 9, half 9. I was up at 7, but I'd go back in there when I'd fed the dogs and made my tea and everything. But sometimes if he was making a drink for my mum, of course he'd make me one, so he'd bring it in, you know, like if I made one for myself, I'd make one for them, except first thing in the morning because they were still asleep, but any other time. So he'd bring my drink in, and like if he was on the phone, I was having a disagreement with Obi one day on the phone, not an argument, but we weren't seeing eye to eye over something. It wasn't anything personal, it was just something we had to do. I can't even remember what it was, and he was hovering around, and I knew it. And apparently he went back out and he said to my mum, oh, I think they're having an argument in there. And then she'd come in, and she'd sit in there with me, and she was fine, and I liked her company. But then my phone would ring, and I'd be talking on the phone, and she'd go, I'll come off the phone, who's that? And I think, you know, hold on a minute, you know, I felt like I had no privacy, and I felt like she wanted to know everything about everything, and it was very difficult because she was putting me up in a situation where I had nowhere else to go, so I had to keep bite my tongue. You know, she did help me a lot after the fire with going round. She was the only one that really helped me. Obi wasn't here, and the kids didn't really bother to help me. They chose what they wanted, like for their bedroom furniture and stuff, but we had to go round the shops, or we did some of it online, but you know, like when you can't see, you want to, most things you want to have a look at before you buy them, really, if you're trying to rebuild a whole house, which I hope none of you ever have to do. Because we had to buy everything from cutlery to three-piece suite to all the kitchen appliances, and I had to make sure that I could operate those where they've got buttons and they're not touchscreen things. So I had to see them. So she came round with me. It was the middle of winter. It was January, February time. And she was really helpful, and we had to build the whole place from scratch and go around trailing around hour after hour buying things. And you know, you might think that was lovely, but it wasn't. You know, it's nice to have a newish, you know, everything new, but not for the reason that it happened. So that took some of the enjoyment out of it, really. But you know, so I couldn't. I knew which side my bread was buttered. I had to keep on the right side of her. So it involved a lot of biting my tongue, and you know, she'd say, "Why aren't you doing this? And you didn't do that." And it's not anything that I did wrong in her house, but she'd say, "I'm not getting out. You're not getting out and getting enough exercise." And I don't think she realised at that point, and I don't even think I realised that my kidneys were getting a lot worse, and I actually didn't feel like doing a lot of exercise. And you know, she went on about that, and it wasn't easy. And so when I moved back out, I was really thankful, because I lived there for 4 months with my cats and dogs. So it was a big intrusion for her too, and I do realise that. I was thankful to regain my independence and, you know, to just get on with things. And I think, you know, when you can't see, you do have to rely on other people to a certain extent with certain things. And there needs to be a happy medium. You need to know yourself what you want or what you expect. And the other people need to respect that and just to accept. If they give you advice and you don't necessarily take it, or you don't take it all. Because I think even my mum thinks she does have a certain amount of control over me. Even now, I think that's wrong. I don't think she thinks it. I think it's just like an automatic thing, because she's been used to doing certain things for me over the years and advising me on stuff. Although I've always been very independent, when it comes to visual things, I think she just assumes that I don't know what I want, which is a foolish thing if ever there was one, because I'm pretty upfront about what I want in life and I will fight to get it. That's why I managed to get my husband to the UK despite all the odds, and nobody will ever know what those odds were, and it's not something I want to talk about on here, to be fair. So I think some people are quite happy and they kind of acquiesce in this bubble of their parents knowing best. I've heard things on Audio Boom recently where people said things like, I want my parents to be there because they know how they want, my mum knows how she wants this and that. And I think, well, what about what you want? And if they don't mind and they're happy like that, then that's absolutely fine. But I'm not like that. I, you know, like when we moved back in, I had my ideas about where I wanted everything, how I wanted my house to look, and what I needed help with was colours. But one thing I didn't follow, I took my mum's advice on, and it turned out to be wrong. I went to order this three-piece suite, and I wanted this big corner sofa. I don't usually like corny things like that, but this was really nice. And I wanted it to be that in a corner, obviously, because it's like a big... It's like two sofas joined together at right angles. And I thought, I wanted it, when I come in my porch door, to the left there's an area in front of the front window, and I wanted part of it to run along that front window there and the other bit to go along the wall. And I said that I thought we would have to, because you could have it, you have it built to your specification. You can take out one of the seats, you can have an arm on the end of it, or you don't have an arm on the end of it, and stuff like that. So I said on the bit that I wanted under the window that I didn't think it would fit under our window, and we didn't measure it because we couldn't get into the house at the time because they were doing refurbishment here and redecoration, and we didn't have a key, so I couldn't even measure it. And so as it was going to take like several months, and we had to go several months after we moved back in, just sitting on garden chairs in the lounge. So I didn't want to really leave it till I move in and then have to order it. Well, maybe I should have done that. So I said I wanted one of the seats taken out of this part of the sofa, because I think then it would fit under the window the way I wanted it. But she said, oh no, that's a shame to do that. I'm sure it's going to fit. Well, of course, when they delivered it, what happened? It didn't fit. So now, luckily, we've got a big room. It's like 28 foot long or something. Luckily, we can have it so that that piece of sofa comes across the room and it divides the room in two. I don't really like it like that. And I'd rather have had it the way I wanted it, but there wasn't really anything I can do about it, could do about it at that stage. So that was one time when I thought, oh, well, maybe she's got more idea than me. I am pretty good at, I know now that I'm better at her than at judging distances. I'm pretty good at judging distances, even though I can't see. I measure things with my hands. I may not be able to take a rule. I haven't got a braille ruler, and I may not be able to take one of these like measuring tape things. I measure things with my hands. And so if I wanted to know if a table's going to fit in a certain place, I will measure the space with my hands. I'll put one hand next to it, then I'll put another hand next to that, then I'll cross the other hand over and then do that, and then I'll count how many hands, or how many hands and a half. And then I'll do the same on the table. And I'm very, you know, that way, I'm quite good at judging it without doing that. But, you know, I've got a better, I think I've got, even though I can't see, a better dimensional, spatial awareness than she has. And so I wasn't very pleased about that, but at the time, it didn't really matter. It's just, you know, it's academic, really. But everything else, you know, I told them how I want my bedroom. I want the phone, I want the bed there, I want the wardrobe. I had it all planned. You know, when I ordered it, I knew exactly where everything was going to go, and I knew how it would fit in, and it did. It fitted in exactly how I wanted it to. And so, yes, I took advice on, oh yes, that looks nice, that looks really good, nice quality or whatever. Doesn't mean to say I'm going to get it, but you know, the chances are I probably will, but I'm not going to have it the way someone else wants me to have it. I'll have it unless I want that as well. You know, I've got my ideas how I want things, and I can visualize things. I'm good at visualizing things. You know, even though I can't see. So, you know, I know how things go, if you know what I mean. Of course I need help, like, putting things together. I can't do that. I'm not very good at that. I probably could do that if I really put my mind to it, but I don't want to do that. I'm quite good at solving things like that, as I say. But I just think we... Sometimes some people just let their parents take over. And the thing is, one day their parents might not be there, and then what are they going to do? This is the problem. I think it's quite sad in a way. But, you know, if they're happy doing that, then I suppose there's not much I can say. I don't like someone telling me what to do, basically. And last night, yeah, I can tell you about this dream. I knew there was something else I was going to say. I was sitting here waffling then, because I couldn't think what it was. I had this dream. Is it raining? No. I had this dream last night. I had some really strange dreams. But one of them was that I've dreamt this dream, not the part about my mum, but I've dreamt this dream lots of times. I dream it regularly. I used to keep guinea pigs and rabbits when I was married before. And then when we split up and got divorced, I just let them whittle down until I had none left. And I didn't replace them because I moved around quite a lot and it was always a worry whether I could take them. They lived outside, but I never had a problem. But, you know, now I would find it too much hard work. So I loved them, but it was hard work and a worry when you go away to get someone to look after them. So I always have this dream that I suddenly remember that I hadn't fed my guinea pigs for a month or given them any water and that they're going to be dead and that I've got to go and find them dead, which of course never happened. I always have this dream about it, and it's always back at my house that I shared with my ex-husband. And last night I dreamt that, oh my God, my guinea pigs, and there was two of them. Well, we did have nine at one point because we had two girls and a boy, and the two girls had babies, and then we got the dad neutered, and then there were six babies, and we kept them all. There was only one boy, and we kept him neutered. We got him neutered, and then because the boy and the dad used to fight, we separated them into two groups that were like five in one group. Each boy had his own group, and the dad had some, and the boy had some. The son had some. Anyway, in my dream, there was only two. And I thought, oh my God, they're going to be dead. They've had no water. It was the water I was worried about. Water, they're going to have no water. Because I suppose they would have had loads of hay and it wouldn't have kept them going a month, but that wouldn't be what killed them. It would have been no water. And it was in the evening. It was still light, but it was like summertime evening, getting on towards dusk. And my sister was there and my mum was there. And I wanted to go outside to check on them, but I didn't want to find them dead in the evening because then I've got to worry about it all night. And I also didn't want it to happen while she was there because I didn't want to have to tell her and I didn't want it to have to come out that it was my fault that I killed them because I forgot them. And so in the end I decided I couldn't leave it. I'd have to go and see. I couldn't leave them any longer. So my sister was washing up at the sink and I went outside and I realised that I had no water bottle. That was even worse. Their water bottle had fallen off. They not only hadn't been filled up, it had gone. And there was just the wire on the cage. So I came back in before I opened the hutch door. And I said to my sister, I can't find their water bottle. And she looked out the window, but she wouldn't have been able to see from there because that part of the garden where we had them was raised up because our garden was in three tiers going upwards. And it was all fenced off so that the dogs couldn't get in that bit. So I could let the animals out sometimes, and I had runs for them, but I didn't want the dogs going in there because the guide dogs were fine, but Lammy would pester them and go up to the runs. And sometimes when we sat out there, we'd let the rabbits loose in that part of the garden. We'd have to be careful of the foxes, but so she couldn't see from there. So she said she'd have to come out with me. So I was looking in the cupboard under the sink, and I was even looking at the dishes and saying, oh, yeah, shall I put their food in that one, and of course I was thinking I was going to find them dead. So we went outside and she picked their bottle up off the grass and it was empty, and she went in to fill it up for me. And while she did that, I went and opened the cage, and the first one, he was laying down. I don't know if it was a he or a she, or it was a long-haired one, which would have been the she's because the males were short-haired. And she was laying down, only I think it was a he in the dream, with his back to the door, but he was alive and he stood up and he was very weak. And I said, oh, thank God. It's alive. And then I thought, oh well, if only one of them's dead. This is how I thought in my dream. If only one of them's dead, then that could have just been an accident, and I could just tell my mum, oh, one of the guinea pigs is dead. She needn't know that it's because I didn't look after them for a month, and then they're both dead. Is that Connor coming in? I think that's Connor coming home. What? Oh, you getting your stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, it came when you were in the shower.
No.
All right. So I'm going to get this. I left it in the porch. I forgot to tell him it came. And then, so I decided I'd better clean them out because obviously they would be in a bit of a state after that amount of time. So I shushed them into their bedroom area of the hutch and I started to take all the dirty straw out. And I cleaned it all out, and then I sent my sister to go and get me some hay to put in the bottom. And I said, oh, I haven't got any newspaper, because sometimes I used to put newspaper underneath, and I thought, oh, it doesn't matter. I just put a good layer of hay in there for them. It was weather like it is now. I said, it's summer, it's warm, they're not going to be that cold. So I was putting in the hay, I put in like about 2 inches of hay, and then my mum came up behind me and she said, and this is the sort of thing she did used to say, she came up and said, oh, you haven't put enough hay in, I think they're going to be cold. And I said to her, mum, it's the middle of summer, they're not going to be cold. And but in the dream, I said to my sister, oh, can you, when my mum had gone out of earshot, can you pass me some more hay for just to shut her up, for God's sake? Which is the sort of thing I would have done. Oh, anything to shut her up. And she knows what she goes on about things like that as well. She does, in reality, about the animals, because she doesn't like it when I do things my way and she does things her way. She's one of these people that thinks that she's very good at looking after animals, and she's probably better than me, but she thinks her ways are the right way, and she doesn't really like it when I do mine a different way. You know, she'll accept it, but at first she'll argue with me over it, or I'll argue with her. But on this occasion, I just wanted to shut her up, so I said, give me the straw over, and I just shoved a load more straw in. And then I had an argument with her, and I was really angry in the dream, and I don't know why I felt such anger towards her, and that's really weird. I just thought I would voice my opinion on this matter, because I'd had that dream, and it was like she tried to undermine me, I suppose. And I didn't take too kindly to it, but I did try to do something to shut her up, but then I had a big row with her afterwards. I don't very often argue with my mum. I did have a few arguments with her when I was staying with her for 4 months, because sometimes it just... I think sometimes two head of household women don't go well in the same house. I've been used to running my household for years, and she has, and then... I don't know, we didn't clash much. We've got on pretty well, but a couple of times we did. And that's why I can't understand. My husband, Obi, his father had a polygamous marriage, and he had about 4 wives at once. I mean, he's only got... I don't know if he's got 1 or 2 living there now. But when Obi was growing up, there was 4 wives. Well, he can't remember when there was 4, because his mum died when he was 2, but... then he had, there were 3 wives living together, and they all used to gang up, 2 of them used to gang up on the other one. In the end, she left. You can just imagine what a bitch fest that would be, honestly. That wasn't good. And I wouldn't be able to live in that kind of household and that kind of atmosphere. They're always like saying, oh, what's she going to do when she comes home? And in the end, she left because she couldn't put up with it. Because I think there was one wife who thinks she's, because she was the first one, I suppose she's like the boss. But anyway, I don't know if I've made any sense, but just my thoughts really. I just think if you're happy with your parents controlling you, and you know, if you think they know better than you, that if you really haven't got an opinion, then, and you're happy about it, that's fine. But some people just go along with it because they don't want to offend their parents, or they don't want them to say, oh, well, all right, I'm not doing that for you anymore. And in that case, it's a bit sad if they're, because that is a form of like controlling. I could do with some iced coffee right now, you know. I don't know if you can buy, with my Tassimo machine, if you can get cold drinks. I haven't got any. A funny noise. I wonder what that was. How weird. Oh, it's my seat. It sounded like it was coming from over the school. I think it was my seat squeaking. Can't make it do it now. Yeah, what I do is I make it. I wish I'd done it this morning. I make I've got the Nescafe sachets. I make it and just put it in the freezer for a couple of hours. Or even an hour. Well, the same with tea. I make iced tea with lemon. Yeah. But it is a very dodgy area. Parental control. You have to let go at some point. Like my son, you know, he went to Paris. He didn't say, "Mum, is it all right if I go to Paris?" "Mum, I'm going to Paris for 3 days." "Oh, yeah, good." You know? I don't give him the Spanish Inquisition over it. I like to know, you know, what he's doing. And just because I like to keep in touch. I don't want him to become so distant that I don't know what is going on in his life. But I don't want to be dictating it either. It's just not for me. I've got enough sort of my own out, to be honest, without poking my nose in other people's. And the same with my mum. You know, I know some people get to the stage where they start telling their parents what to do as they get older, saying, "Oh, we think you need this and we think you need that." I wouldn't want to do that to my mum. I think she does too much of her charity cat work. And I've told her maybe you should think about cutting it down. And then I thought, well, why should she really? If she can do it and it keeps her happy and it keeps her active, then it's none of my business. And I, you know, what's she got to do if she doesn't do that? I don't want her just sitting at home, like in quotes, waiting to die. So if she's got something that keeps her mind active and keeps her body active, then I think it's really great. She does more than I do. And, you know, I think it's really fantastic that she's still doing stuff. And I'm not going to be a controlling child. I'm not going to be a controlling daughter either, because some people do try and control their parents. I've heard them that, you know, I've heard them, like, when I've been at the hospital and stuff like that, and you get these daughters that are there with their parents. I mean, with me, it's my mum who's used to come with me, but you get daughters that go with their parents, and they're so patronising the way they speak to them, and I think, don't do that, you know. They're saying, "Yes, but mum, you've got to realise," and I think, oh, please, don't speak to her like that. God, just don't do it. So I would never patronise my mum either. And I wouldn't, you know, turn the control button on her. Definitely not. Heaven help me if I'd even tried. I think she's got her own mind. And, you know, I might have said to her, "Don't you think you're doing a bit too much?" But I don't say, you know, I don't tell her what to do. Because when I think about it afterwards, I think, you know, it's her life. She wants to get the most out of it she can. And if she's doing something that's worthwhile and that keeps her active in every way, then it's a good thing. And all credit to her. Anyway, I think I've gone on too blooming long, to be honest. Let's see just how long. Publish. Play. 0%. 0 seconds of 1 hour. That's another thing that keeps happening with this silly audio boom. It said I've done 0 minutes. Well, clearly I haven't. Anyway, I'll speak to you all soon, and I'll be interested to hear if anyone has anything to add to this or what their opinion is.